about it. He said, you know, the older you get, the faster time goes by. I said, man, it feels fast enough right now. So I'm kind of scared for the future, but we'll see how it works out, I guess. Matthew chapter 7 is where I'm going to be speaking from this morning. And actually, a thought that's kind of been rolling around in my mind for a few weeks, and the Lord gave me a message on it, actually for the kids in chapel for the school this week. And then as I was preparing for this day, I was thinking a lot of things would apply to us as well. So Matthew chapter 7, and as Brother Bob said, pastor's at junior church, so he will be back shortly, I heard, right? So I better, whatever I'm going to say that's kind of controversial, I better say it quick before you, no, I'm just kidding. We'll see about that. Matthew chapter 7, if you stand with me, if you're able to, for the reading of God's word, Matthew chapter 7, that wasn't me. That was for those that don't stand. We have a buzzer. Get up! No, I'm just kidding. All right, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. We're going to read the end of the chapter here. Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's finishing up saying his last few verses here of his sermon in the Sermon on the Mount. So verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and the opportunity again to preach your word. Lord, I thank you for every single opportunity and chance and privilege that I get to speak it, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the direction it gives to us and the guidance that it gives in our lives. Lord, where would we be without your word? And I just thank you for it. I pray that, Lord, you will bless it today as it's preached and taught. And, Lord, as we try to understand these things that you're saying here in this great passage of the Bible, Lord, quickly, I just pray that you would please help me, Lord. I pray you forgive me of my sins. God, I don't want anything in my life to hinder what you're trying to do today with these folks, Lord. I pray you would please do that. I pray you would fill me with your spirit, Lord. Control everything that I think and say and do. And I pray you would focus me on the scripture, Lord. God, not to be worried about anything that happened before church or maybe something that will happen later or any stray thought or idea, Lord. God, I want to be focused on what your word has and the job at hand, Lord. And I pray for the folks out here. I thank you for them coming to church today. I pray you would bless their efforts for coming, and I pray that as they listen, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. I pray you would give something to every single person here today, Lord. I pray you would encourage them, bless them, give them what they need from your word so that they'd be better Christians for you. And Lord, if there are any that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that today would be their day of salvation, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for this opportunity once again. Please bless it, Lord. I need your help, God. These people don't need to hear me, God. They don't need a sermon out of the briefcase. They need to hear from you. And God, I just pray you would please work through me, speak through me today. God, I can't help these people, but you can. And I'm relying on you to do that. So please bless our time together today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing up. For those people who didn't, we're working on that bus. So we should get better as we go. Just kidding. In Matthew 5 through 7, as I was saying, Jesus is speaking the Sermon on the Mount. And he's teaching his children how they should act. And he's also giving them some examples of what they should not be by referring to the Pharisees and the hypocrites and different folks throughout this. But in this passage, the people had the opportunity to hear God speak. I mean, if you would think about this, the people that were present that day, they had the opportunity, the chance, the privilege to hear God manifested in the flesh speak. That's an amazing opportunity, I believe. You say, well, no, this was Jesus speaking. Yeah, Jesus is God, if you didn't know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, referring to Jesus Christ. He comes, and he speaks to these folks in this passage, and they had the opportunity to hear him speak. And he spoke of amazing things. He spoke of also many things. He gives them different examples of what they should be and how his children should act and how it should be in the kingdom. And in chapter 6, he refers to different things in chapter 5, I'll go back. He says, you've heard it said in old time. See, the law was taught and they were all about the external, the outward. And he says, listen, it's not just about doing everything down pat. It's not just about having the shirt and the tie on. It's not just about having the dress, the correct length and all that. Although that's
proper in its place, and although that's right in its place. He's saying, listen to me, it's not just about the outward of the cup, it's also the inside. Listen, folks, listen to me. It's not about just about the suit and the tie, the nice clothes around Christmas. It's not about all that. It's about what you have on the inside. Listen to me. As Christians, it should be from the inside out. We should be right on the inside, and that manifests itself out in the way we talk and the attitude we have and the clothes we wear and, you know, all the things that we do. That's how it should work. But so often, we try to clean up the outside. We try to get a new hairdo, try to get a new paint job, you know. We try to get a new clothes, this or that, and then think we're good Christians, but we leave all the junk on the inside. We leave the sin. We leave the bad thoughts. We leave the pornography. We leave the bad music on the inside, and then we think we're good Christians. You know what you're doing? You're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. Jesus is saying it's not just about what's on the outside. It's about what's on the inside. Chapter 6, he gives three different examples about the Pharisees, how they would do things to be seen of men. Folks, we don't live the Christian life to be seen of men. We live the Christian life to be seen of God. He says, you know, they'll pray and they'll make a big, huge prayer and try to show off and want people to look at them and want people to, you know, when they're coming in town, oh, hey, pastor. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. They want that. They're all into what people think of them, the praise, the honor, the glory. They're not trying to exalt him. They're trying to exalt themselves. He says that's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. It's about exalting him, because let me tell you, folks, there isn't any human being that can do anything for you. Only God can change your life. Only God can help you out. And he says, they pray and they make a show of it. He says, don't pray like that. He says, when you pray, don't let your right hand know what your left hand does. Basically, he says, do it in secret. Your Heavenly Father, he sees in secret, and he'll reward you openly. He'll take care of you. He talks also about not only prayer, but he talks about alms, giving to the poor, giving charity to the poor. And he says, these people, they'll do it in front of everybody. Oh, pastor's here. Well, there I go. I had my chance. Pastor's saying, what is he talking about? You'll find out. They would also do their alms to be seen of men. A poor guy's on the street, and instead of just giving it to him, they'd look around and see who's watching. Hurry up. Come on, people. Hey, there's the crowd. Hey, brother, let me help you. Just to be seen of men. That's not what it's about, folks. That's not what it's about. Prayers is not about that. Giving to the poor is not about that. It's not about who sees you. They would also fast, and when they would fast, they would disfigure their faces, so they come into church and sit down and, are you fasting? Oh, how'd you know? Right? Jesus says, you know what you should do? He says, you know what you should do? You should make it appear as though you're not fasting. Fix yourself up. Because, listen to me, are we fasting for people's praise, or are we trying to get something from the Lord? Hey, folks, this is not the message today, but who are you into? You into people or God? Who are you trying to impress today? Why are you coming today? Just because people are here? Hey, we should love our pastor, and we have a good pastor, but you shouldn't just, well, if I don't show up, pastor's going to be, you know, kind of disappointed. God's going to be kind of disappointed. It's not about people. It's about him. He gets in chapter 7, he talks about there's two ways, and there's two trees, and there's two foundations that you build on. And he gives them all these different things. But they had the opportunity to hear God speak. He spoke of amazing things. And he spoke of many things. But I want you to notice the reaction that they had. The reaction that they had. Look at we're in chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. After Jesus had finished speaking, in verse 28 and 29, it shows their reaction. It says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Astonished at his doctrine. For he spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes. Listen. They're saying they were astonished at his doctrine. Astonished means to be amazed. Listen to this. Please listen to this. To be amazed, to be astounded, to be awestruck, to be wowed, to be blown away. You know what happened to these people when they heard God speak? They said, did you just hear what he said? This is amazing. Nobody ever spoke like this man before. This is amazing. The authority that he has, the power that he has, the respect that he deserves. Nobody speaks like this. You know why they had this great reaction, to be wowed, to be amazed, to be astonished by God speaking to them? I say it's because of this. Because God had spoken. Period. God had spoken. Now listen to me today, folks. We have the opportunity to hear God speak many, many times. Almost every week. For some of us, multiple times a week. You have the opportunity to hear God speak. He speaks of amazing things. He speaks of salvation and guidance and comfort. And he speaks of many things. There are many things the Bible talks about. Yet the reaction of many is not to be astonished over it. The reaction of many is not to be amazed, wowed, awestruck, blown away. Not the reaction of many. You know, I preach a lot to the teenagers and to different folks. And you know the reaction that I get a lot of times? People don't care. They just flat out don't care. You say you're not going to make it any more fancy than that? No, they don't care. They're disinterested. They're bored. It's no big deal to them unless it appeals to their agenda. Now, sorry, I may be stepping on some toes here, but folks, you shouldn't just say amen when we talk about politics. Yeah, amen. If God says something out of his word, even in the spiritual realm, you could say amen every once in a while. Some of us, we say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody says anything. Somebody says something about Obama. Yeah, get rid of it. Huh? Now listen, if you want to say, okay, but even it out. I mean that, folks. Or how about sports? Some people don't say a word. You start talking about the rest of them. Don't talk about my team. You're laughing. You know it's the truth, though. Unless it appeals to your agenda, then you set up and listen. But if God says something about your life, about soul winning, about whatever, I hear that all the time. I told some of the teenagers on Tuesday when I preached this to them, I said, some of you just don't seem like you're not impressed by the Bible. Just not impressed by it. I said, well, you as the next generation of our leaders in the church, I'm not impressed by you. I don't care how much talent you have, what all the people think of you, how much leadership ability you have. If you don't care about the Bible, you're going to be a failure in your life. I don't care what you got going for you. Listen, the reaction of many is that they don't care. They're disinterested. It's no big deal to them. They're bored by it. Let me tell you something today. You should be impressed. You should be impressed. You should wake up. You know why? Not because Tom's speaking. Not because Pastor speaks. Not because Brother Chad speaks. You know why you should wake up? Why you should pay attention? Why you should set up? Why you should listen? Doesn't matter what my friend does or what the text message may say. Doesn't matter what game is coming on later. I'm here. I'm in tune. I'm listening. You know why? Because God has spoken. Some of you didn't catch that. I said God has spoken. It's not about me. It's not about this or that. It's that God has spoken. God has spoken. Listen, folks, see with me, first of all, number one in this passage, the authority of his deity. The authority of his deity. Verse 29. After he had finished speaking, notice what they say. The people's reaction to him. It says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe. You know what that's talking about? When Jesus got up to speak, Jesus didn't have to refer to so-and-so or this statistic or that to prove his point. He's God, and if he speaks, you should listen. That's what he's saying. He spoke with somebody that had authority. He didn't get up there not knowing what he was saying. He's saying, thus saith the Lord. He's saying, listen to me, because I have authority in what I'm saying. Listen, folks. This is a big pet peeve of mine. I have this all the time in the church. I'm talking to young guys. And Pastor, you know this is the truth. It's almost a meaningless statement nowadays for us to say, well, you know, guys, God says this. They don't care. They hear it all the time, and it means nothing to them. I'm sick of that. I'm sick. Listen to me, folks. When I say, when we say from this pulpit, because we don't get up here saying dumb things that aren't founded upon the Word of God. If we read it in the Bible, God did say it. Listen, I know that statement's misused by charismatics and TBN. The Lord told me to tell you to drop your credit cards in the offering plate for me on the way out. You know what I'm saying? Now, God did not say that. If you can find a verse on that, tell me, and I'll preach that. You better believe it. But listen, God did not say that. I know that's misused, but folks, we mean it. If it's founded upon the Word of God, when we say God says this or God says that, you shouldn't just, oh, I could care less. It happens all the time with the fellas. Hey, God says you should be baptized. So God says, why should I care about that? God says I should tithe. God says. It's meaningless nowadays. That's a problem. That's a problem. If God speaks, you should listen. Listen. And if somebody does make that statement to you and they misuse it and tell you God said something and you can't find it in the Bible, then God didn't say it. Because you know what? Well, the Lord just speaks to me sometime, you know. I'm down there late at night. And I start seeing them lights through the window, you know. And I start feeling it. I just start feeling a shaking inside. And you know what I'm saying, you know. T.D. Jakes, you turn him on and he helps you with it. I just heard the Lord tell me.
I had a guy in college, one of my friends, tell me that a girl that went to his church said the Lord revealed to her that she was going to marry this guy. I was like, really? Okay. Wow, that's interesting. I haven't read that lately. Folks, listen to me. If it says it in the Bible, it's true. And if we repeat it to you, that should mean something. When we say, listen, God wants you to come back Sunday night, He does. John 20, Acts 20, it's in there. When we say that, we're not just making it up. Well, what should we tell them, Pastor?
That sounds really good.
That's not what we're doing here. We're telling you what God said. Listen, but we tell you that so much, people.
God said, yeah, okay. Blah, blah, blah.
It's not like that. That's a problem. That's a problem nowadays. Also, though, listen, what's your priority? What's your priority? If we can back it up from the Bible, you should listen when we say God says this or God says that. What's your priority in your life? Listen, some folks, if we say the Bible says this, God says this, who cares? If you see it on the news, you listen. Some of you read the newspaper, you know, every single day, but you don't read your Bible every day. What's more important to you? What's your priority? Come on, folks. Listen, some guys, they don't care what the Bible says, but you see something on sports, you're all into that. That's wrong. Where's your heart? Pretty sure it's not in the right place. If God says something, we don't care, but young girls, if some guy says something, oh, what'd he say about me? That's wrong. Something's wrong about that. Fellas, you know, God says something, we don't care. Well, what'd she say about me? Whoa, dude, she said what? For real? You get all excited about it. God says something, you could care less. That's a problem. What's the priority in your life? I told the kids on Tuesday, you know, some people, man, we tell them to read their Bible every day. Nah. But as soon as they wake up, they hear that little whatever sound on their phone, bling, bling, or whatever your text message sound is. You know, you wake up, bling, bling. She said, okay, great. I bet you don't run to your Bible like that in the morning. That would be kind of weird if you did, but I'm being truthful now. But, you know, listen, how much anticipation do we have when we open the Bible? How much do you care when you open it? How much when you don't understand something, how much do you stay there and say, I got to understand what this means? This is important. If you didn't understand the text, you would throw something back saying, what were you saying? Can you say that again? Why? Because you care about that. But most people, they don't care about the Bible. That's not good. It's not good. You know, if God says something, we could care less. If Facebook says it, ooh, what's the problem here? What's the problem here? Listen to me. That's a problem. There's a priority in your life. And listen, His person, when God speaks, that should mean something to you. This is God manifested in the flesh. In John 7:46, some of the soldiers sent out by the scribes and Pharisees, they said, nobody talks like Him. Nobody speaks like this man. They come, they're supposed to arrest Him, but they didn't. They come back and they say, you don't understand, the leaders that were trying to arrest, you don't understand. Nobody talks like this guy. He's amazing. Yes, He is. Listen to me, folks. You should wake up. You know why? He's the Creator. This is the person speaking to us. He's the one that created you. I tell the teenagers sometimes, the only reason you're breathing right now is because of God. The only reason you can see right now is because of God. The only reason you can think right now is because of God. The only reason when church is over, hopefully soon, you can walk out of this church with your own two feet is because of God. But yet we could care less about Him most of the time. I have my faults, folks, but I believe that's pushing God a little bit. You act as if there is no God. It trips me out, the atheist. I don't even believe there is a God. And you say that with the mouth that God gave you. Real smart. Real smart. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. He's the Savior. He's the King of Kings, and He's the Lord of Lords. And if He speaks, we ought to listen. We should listen to it. Listen, you should speak. You should, when He speaks, you should listen because of who He is. God has spoken. The authority of His deity. Number two, the accuracy of His doctrine. That's why you should listen to it. That's why you should wake up and pay attention to it. In verse 28, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people
were astonished at his doctrine. At his doctrine, at what he taught, at the truths that he that came out of his mouth. They were astonished at that. The accuracy of his doctrine. They were astonished because of what he said. And what he says is always perfect. Always perfect. You know why? Because it's inspired. That means it's God-breathed. It comes out of his mouth. It's inerrant. That means there is no errors in it.
You say, I found one. No, you didn't. Keep looking. You'll find out you were wrong. God's right. Let God be true and every man a liar.
It's infallible. There are no faults in the Bible. Everything it tells you to do, it can never fail. No possibility of it ever failing. And you know what else? It's intact. The word of God that you hold in your hands today is the word of God.
Well, I go to the Christian bookstore and I see all these variant
kinds of translations, let's say. I see the green Bible and the pink Bible and the Precious Moments Bible, you know.
Those Precious Moments, they get it wrong too, you know. It's like David killing Goliath and David's over there with the big eyes that are like this big. I don't think David looked like that, you know. And I don't think Goliath looked like that. He's chopping the head off.
No. I don't believe that was his facial expressions, all right? It's perfect. You know what else? It's precise. It's precise. Listen, the Bible is detailed. The Bible gets down in every part of your life. It gives you directions for every aspect of your life. Some people complain about that. I mean, I would try to do right, but, you know, it's just like so much stuff that the Bible tells you, you know? It's like, I mean, hey, there's like 8 billion things on each page that I need to do. It's just hard. Listen to me, folks. I'm glad that the Bible gives me details. I'm glad that the Bible doesn't give me areas of my life that it has nothing to say about it. That would stink.
Well, I know I need to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Tithe, listen, read the Bible.
What about prayer? I don't know. It has nothing to say. I'm glad it tells us about everything. I'm glad about that. It gives directions for your life. And it's precise. Every small thing that it says is true. You can't prove it wrong. Listen, folks, I'm just going to say some of the things the Bible teaches us, okay? Listen, young fellas or old fellas, the Bible tells us if a man has long hair, it's a shame to him. But I like my dude, man. No. Bible says it's a shame unto you.
Well, that's just your opinion. I was in my class. That's just your white, you know.
No. Paul was Jewish, okay? He wrote that. And that came down from God. Listen, if he said it, we should listen to it.
Well, that's not what styles say. Who do we care about?
We shouldn't care about, listen, folks, we shouldn't care about what the people think. We should care about what he thinks. Didn't he just say that in the Sermon on the Mount? Ladies, you're supposed to dress modestly.
Oh, here we go. This stuff is controversial.
No, it's biblical. It's in the Bible. We shouldn't have any trouble with this stuff.
We're going in a gray area, you know. No signal. We're roaming. He's going to charge extra here.
Listen, you shouldn't have to worry about it. If the Bible says it, we shouldn't have to tiptoe around things. I don't want to offend you, so. If it says it, here it is. It says you should dress modestly. 1 Timothy 2:9. The women should adorn themselves in modest apparel.
Well, that's not the style. It is to God.
Bible says you shouldn't even look at wine, look at beer. Pretty hard to drink if you don't look at it. All right? It says we should be separate from evil, separate from wrong. Wherefore, the Holy Spirit says, wherefore come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. Listen, folks, in your life, there should be a separation between what's wrong and you. Just stay away from it. Listen, that's why in my house, and it didn't start with me, it started with my dad and my mom, said, we don't watch that stuff. We don't listen to that stuff. We don't read that stuff, as Brother Bill was teaching us Friday night. There are certain things as a Christian you stay away from. Separate. Listen.
Well, how about my TV and computer? The Bible doesn't say anything about that.
I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'm pretty sure that includes that. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Listen. Well, you know how things are nowadays. It's just not politically correct to say homosexuality is wrong. It's in the Bible. God calls it an abomination. You know what that means? He don't like it. He hates it. You know what abomination? It means it disgusts him. It means when God sees it, he goes, ooh. You should too, by the way. Listen, the Bible says abortion is murder. Oh, here we go, Tom. Controversy. It's in the Bible. And by the way, young preachers, if it's in the Bible, you don't have to worry about saying it. If it's in there, just say it. We don't have to worry about it. Listen, the Bible says fornication, sexual sin, is a wicked, ungodly thing that God will judge you for. God will judge that. Listen, it's precise. And you know what? It's productive. Listen, you follow what the Bible says. You'll have God's blessings on your life. You'll have stability in your life. You'll have fulfillment in your life. You go against it, you reject it, your life is going to be ruined, and you're going to regret every second. You sat in church and you didn't care. As David was preaching in our class last week, every second you say, I want nothing to do with that or what God tells me. You're going to regret that one of these days. Listen, folks, this is not us getting up in your face. This is the Bible telling you what you need to do. Listen, God has spoken to us. That should not be a meaningless statement. When you come to church, you should say, oh, I don't care about the preaching. That's the most important part. That's God speaking to us from his word. Well, how do we know this is God speaking to us? This is his word. He wrote it. The Bible says the writers of the Bible were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were not the active party. They were just following along, man. Writing down what God told them to. All right? God has spoken. I want you to see the authority of his deity. Listen, folks. It should not be meaningless. Next time somebody makes a statement to you, listen up, fellas in the back. Next time somebody makes a statement to you, hey, God says this, or the Bible says this, that shouldn't just go in one ear and out the other. You should set up and pay attention and say, can you show that to me in the Bible? Yeah, it's right here. Okay, I'm doing it then. Where are those Christians? Where are those people? I remember Brother Chad telling us about guys in his class. Man, it seems like the rarity now, the exception, the oddball, that when we come and say, you need to be saved, they get saved. That doesn't happen very often. When Brother Bob or Miss Lily or whoever comes to you during the invitation, say, would you like to get saved? How many no's do we get? A lot. When we say, the Bible says you need to be baptized. Nah. You know what you're doing? You're telling God no. And every time you tell God no, you're telling the devil yes. That's what you're doing. I don't want to do that in my life. Listen, folks, if God tells you to tithe, God tells you to be faithful to church, I'm telling you. The Bible does say that stuff. The authority of his deity and the accuracy of his doctrine. Everything he says, it'll come to pass. I promise you. If you go against it, you're going to have to be burdened down by all the pressures and all the consequences of that wrong decision you made. But if you do what's right, you can enjoy all the blessings of that. Because God's word will not change for you or me or whoever else. Well, you grew up in church, so you have different rules. No, I don't. I go by this. If I go against what this says, my life will be ruined. If you go against what this says, your life will be ruined. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what skin color you are. That means nothing. Well, see, I come from the rough neighborhood, so, I think God understands, my situation, No, it's not about that. Folks, it's not about that. The authority of his deity and the accuracy of his doctrine. But lastly, folks, I want you to notice, number three, that action is demanded. Action is demanded. So these people heard Jesus speak. And when they got to the end of it, they were astonished. They said, wow, did you hear what he just said? They're amazed by this. They're wowed by this. They're blown away. Thinks this is amazing what this man just said. Not only the authority of his person, but also what he was teaching us. The content of what he was saying. But number three, action is demanded. Folks, listen to me. We're going to hear I'm going to read verses 24 through 27 here in a minute. And we've probably all heard this since kindergarten class. But there's a very adult truth to this. We all need to live this in our lives. Verse 24, the Bible says, action is demanded. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yeah, I know, I've heard that. Well, listen up. You know what this whole story is telling us? That action is demanded. Listen, I want to tell you what we just read in those verses right there, that little passage. First of all, there are two religious people in that story. Two religious people. The beginning of verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. They hear them. The wise man in verses 24 and 25, he hears what Jesus said. He's in church. He's listening. He's paying attention. He hears what he says. But also the foolish man in verses 26 and 27, look at the beginning of verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. He hears what Jesus said. There are two religious people in this passage here. You say, what does that mean? What are you saying? I'm saying this. That's it. Just listen. Just because you come to church doesn't mean you're right with God. Now, coming to church is a step to being right with God. But just coming to church, that in and of itself is not it right there. There's two religious people. They both heard what Jesus said. They both heard the preaching. They both heard what he was saying. They both saw. They both heard. He says there's two religious people, but you know what? There's two reactions to preaching in this passage. Two reactions to it. We already read it, but at the beginning of verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man. This guy doesn't just sit there and listen and learn. He takes that and say, wow, man, God says out of his word that I need to pray without ceasing, that I need to pray for me and my family, my friends and my church, and I need to pray for folks to be saved. What are you doing with that? Did you just write it down in your notebook? Did you just shake your head? Yeah, that's right. Or are you doing it? Folks, you're saying you're getting in my business. No, I'm just saying this is where real Christianity is, folks. We got it all messed up. If I show up to church with my nice clothes and I come, hey, brother, hey, sister, how are you this fine morning? Then we're fine. That's not it. That means nothing. It's about what do you do with what God says? Folks, I know we hear this stuff all the time, but when God says, give to the offering, give to missions, give your tithe, what are you doing with it? If the Bible says, and it does say about being a soul winner, giving out tracts, what are you doing with it?
Well, that's just for the staff member.
No, that's for everyone. What are you doing with it? If the Bible says you need to be baptized after you receive Christ as your Savior, and you haven't done it yet, what's holding you up? The water's ready. The nutcrackers are looking at you, okay? You go down to be baptized. You'll fly out of that water, amen. We might have some sprinkling in this church. I got hit with the holy water. No, that is not holy, I'll tell you that. It's a lot of stuff, but it sure ain't holy. Whew. It may produce some holes in you, but eat through your skin, but it's not holy, holy, holy. Listen. Action is demanded. There's two religious people. They both heard what Jesus said. The wise man heard what Jesus said. The foolish man heard what Jesus said. But the difference is, and the difference between a wise and a foolish person in here today is what do you do with what you heard? I'm not just talking about this message. I'm talking about everything you hear. What do you do with it? Do you just let it sit there? Folks, you can say amen to it. You can say that's right. You can write it down. You can listen. You can pay attention. You can learn a lot from it. But if you don't do it, you're a foolish person. So am I. I can be on the front row, pastor, preach. That's right. Amen. Yes, sir. Be a soul winner. Come on, folks. We need to go, go, go. Sound like the guy from Toy Story, you know?
But then Thursday night, oh, sorry. Pastor, there's games on now Thursday night on NFL Network. I need to be there. I am a diehard. No. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. What are you doing with it?
Two religious people, two reactions to preaching. The foolish man, you know why he's foolish? He didn't do anything with it. He came, he heard, he listened, but he didn't do anything with it. What are you doing with it, folks? What are you doing with it? And then the last thing is this. Both of them face rough problems. There's two religious people, two reactions to preaching, and there's two really rough problems that they faced. Both of these stories, it says the guy that heard what Jesus said and did it, he's a wise man. He built his house upon a rock. Verse 25, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Who said when you're a Christian you have no problems? There's problems right there. When you're a Christian, you have problems. But listen to me, folks. Listen, if you build your life on the world, if you build your life on how smart you are or how good you think you look or how many skills you think you have, if you build your life on the sand, what people think of you or whatever the case may be, when the trouble comes in your life, you know what's going to happen to your life? That's you. But you may say, well, God has blessed me. I might have a big house, a lot of money. Praise the Lord for all that. But that's not where my heart is. That's not where my life is. My life is built and centered and stationed on the Lord Jesus Christ and on what He says. If He says be a soul winner, I'll do it. If He says pray, I'm going to do it. If He says read every day, I'll do it. If He says come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I'll do it. Why? Because I'm building my life on the rock. And then when the storm comes, your house won't fall down. Really? What about a hurricane? This is not talking about your house. This is talking about your life house. Where are you building your life, folks? Where are you building your life? Hey, young people, where are you building your life? On what your friends think of you? As soon as a problem comes, that's your life. The Bible says, and great was the fall of it. I don't want that. Listen, a little over two years ago, my father died. That was a tragedy in my life. I felt like my whole world collapsed. But you know what didn't collapse? Man, when I was living my life on this, I'm okay. It hurts. It stings. Believe me, it stings. But my life didn't collapse when my father passed away. Because you know what? He taught me to build my life on the rock. Not to build my life off of my talents or my skill or my ability. No. Because those things, listen, you think you're the most beautiful woman in this room, young lady? What if you get in a car accident? That could all be gone like that. Pretty sure your house is falling to the ground. Young man, you're the most athletic guy in here. You can, you know, dunk on my grill and all of that good stuff, okay? One injury, one bad cut, your knee blows out, your ankle, you're gone. Your career's gone. Are you going to build your life on that or on what God says? And by the way, this has come to my mind, but we have so many people that come to this church and all they're into is trying to find a guy or a girl. Folks, why don't you get right with God and then let God take care of finding that for you? I deal with young girls all the time, Brother Bob. We try to listen to what the Bible says, and it's just like, as we say, God says, blah, 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 blah. This boy said, what? He did? Me? What is the problem here? We have people that show up to church 2 weeks, and they're already scouting out somebody. Come on now. What's your problem? Listen to me. Some guy won't satisfy you. Some girl won't satisfy you. Only He will satisfy you. But when you build your life on that stuff, one argument, your whole life, everything you live for, everything you built your life on, everything. Oh, if I could just find that relationship and, you know, I'm on this side of some field of wheat. I don't know where these things come from. And she's on there and we both, you know. Oh, my life will just be complete then. Then we get in an argument. Dun, 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 you know. Ding, ding. Right? You come out. Oh, now your whole life is gone. Now you can go and rewind. Whoop, whoop, you know. Oh, that's all over. What happened? You know why? Because you built your life on the sand. Build your life on the rock, folks. It'll never let you down. I don't care what comes your way. I don't care if that's cancer. I don't care if that's somebody in your family dying. I don't care if that's a tough time, people talking about you. Whatever the case may be, if you build your life on the rock, you have God's word on it, not me, His, that your life will stand. And that works in 2010. How about next month? 2011, okay? It works then too. This stuff will never fail. Action is demanded. What do you do with what you hear every week? What do you do with what that man teaches to you and preaches to you every week? There's two religious people. I'm a religious person. I hear it. Hey, I'm here. I'm in church. Don't get on me. I'm the good person. It's okay, okay? Well, good. Chill. I'm a religious person. I hear it. What do you do with it? What is your response to the preaching? Because when you face the rough problems, listen, verse 25, it says, the wise man hit, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Listen. Christians face a lot of problems, and you know what? Listen, the rains descended, they came down, the floods, what does it say? The floods came, that's talking about it comes up, and the winds blew, that's talking about from every side. You ever feel sometimes in your life like you're having trouble from every side? I've been there. You turn here, oh boy, not looking good. You ever feel like that? This guy did. But his life was stationed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When the trouble came, he was fine. He was fine. But the other guy, he had a rough storm too, a rough problem. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew upon his house. Verse 27, it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Folks, it doesn't matter what people may think of you. It doesn't matter what your image is in the church or whatever the case may be. Now, we want God to bless you, and we want all those things for you. But if you're not building your life on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the truths of this book, when the storm comes, I hope we don't say that about your life.
Great was the fall of it. Man, Brother Bob, when he fell, whew, that was a doozy. He fell hard. He fell a long way. That hurts, folks. We don't want to see anybody fall. You don't have to. It's your choice. You see what the Bible says. Again, this is not me. This is what the Bible's teaching, right? Shake your head with me, please. Right, good, okay. Don't be a bobblehead, you know. If you're thinking, have a, you're kind of, no, we don't need that. Kind of giving me, no. This is what the Bible, listen, this is what the Bible's teaching. This is what the Bible's saying. You say, well, I don't think it. Honestly, after church, if you want to come up and prove that to me, if you can prove that to me from the, well, I'm fine with that. But I don't think I'm wrong. Mm-mm. Where are you building your life? Where are you building your life? Action is demanded. Listen, folks. He says the authority of his deity. When God speaks, you should listen because he's speaking. Well, it's just pastor. No, it's God speaking through pastor. Well, it's just this guest speaker. I've heard him a lot. I mean, Brother Kirk's here almost every month. We've heard him so much. No, it's God speaking through Brother Kirk. And if God is speaking, I don't care who the messenger is, you should listen to it. Brother Bill, you might disagree with this. But if there's an important package coming my way, I don't care if UPS or, you know, USPS or whatever their acronym is, or all this stuff. I don't care who gives it to me. If it's important, I'm taking it, okay? Brother Bill says, no. Mm-mm. Send it back. UPS. Right? Folks, listen, it shouldn't matter who gives it to you. You should just trace that back to ultimately who gives it to you. And that's God, and you should listen to that. The authority of his deity, the accuracy of his doctrine. You can never prove the Bible wrong. And action is demanded. It's not good enough just to hear it. Oh, I have people all the time. That was a blessing. Thank you for that. And that's fine. And I appreciate that. But folks, that's not it right there. It, listen, if you, thank you, Brother Tom. That really touched my heart. I really appreciate that. Then as soon as you walk in, get in your car, you know, you turn on the radio. You didn't get the message. Action is demanded. You can hear it, but if you don't change your life according to what he says, you're building your life on the sand. And you put all those nasty things in your mind, then guess what? They show up in your life and, oh, I didn't realize that was going to happen. They didn't mention that in the third verse. No, they didn't. But it happens. And action is demanded. Listen, folks. So God's spoken. God has spoken. What will your reaction be? Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. The opportunity again to preach your word. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the folks listening and paying attention to it. God, help us to learn from this. God, you have spoken to us. This is your word. This is not some fake, some phony, just, you know, something we came up with, Lord. This is exactly what you say in your word. God, we try to preach it faithfully and truthfully. We don't want to mislead people or mess up things that your word says. We want to preach it exactly how it says it, Lord. And God, we do that. I believe we do that many times, many, many times. But God, so often people just don't care. They're just not interested. They're bored by it. And God, it shouldn't be like that. When you speak, we should listen. Because of what you say, we should listen. And God, it's not just good enough just to hear it or listen to it. We got to put it into practice in our lives. Because if we don't, we're building our lives on the sand. And when the trouble comes, we're going to fall. God, I pray you would speak to hearts today. God, please. I know it's Sunday morning, but I pray you would speak to hearts today. And Lord, help people to just be real. God, it doesn't matter what people think of us. You see our hearts. You see our thoughts. You see inside of us. God, you know what we're thinking. You know if we're not building our lives on the rock. Everybody else may think we are, but if you know differently, that's all that counts, God. I pray you please help us today. I pray you bless this quick invitation that we have. Speak to hearts. Lord, if folks aren't saved, I pray you save them today. Lord, if they're not right, help them to come down on this altar and get right with you. God, please, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for speaking to us again today. Bless this time in Jesus' name. If you would stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, we're going to open the invitation.